Jensen left Sebastian to wait on the rock while she made her way up the winding path, through sheltering spruce, using twisted roots as steps up toward her house, set back in a clutch of oak on a small shelf in the side of a mountain. The flat patch of grassy ground was, on a better day, a sunny open spot among the towering old trees. There was room enough to yard their goat, along with some ducks and chickens. Steep rock to the back prevented any visitors happening upon them from that direction. Only the path up the front provided an approach. Should they be threatened, Jensen and her mother had constructed a well-hidden set of footholds up the back to a narrow ledge and out a twisting sideway via deer paths that would take them through a ravine and away. The escape route was nearly inaccessible as a way in, unless you knew the precise course through the maze of rock walls, fissures, and narrow ledges, and even then, they had made certain that key passages were well hidden by strategically placing deadwood and brush they'd planted. Ever since Jensen was young, they had moved often, never staying in one place too long. Here, though, where they felt safe, they had stayed for over 2 years. Travelers had never discovered their mountain hideaway, as sometimes had happened in other places they had stayed, and the people in Briarton, the nearest town, never ventured this far into such a dark and forbidding wood. The seldom-used trail around the lake, from where the soldier had fallen, was as close as any trail came to them. Jensen and her mother had gone into Briarton only once. It was unlikely that anyone even knew they were living out in the vast trackless mountains far from any farmland or city, except for the chance encounter with Sebastian down closer to the lake. They'd never seen anyone near their place. This was the most secure spot she and her mother had ever had, and so Jensen had dared to begin to think of it as home. Since she was 6, Jensen had been hunted. As careful as her mother always was, several times they had come frighteningly close to being snared. He was no ordinary man, the one who hunted her. He was not bound by ordinary means of searching. For all Jensen knew, the owl watching her from a high limb as she made her way up the rocky path could be his eyes watching her. Just as Jensen reached the house, she met her mother, throwing her cloak around her shoulders as she came out the door. She was the same height as Jensen, with the same thick hair to just past her shoulders, but more auburn than red. She was not yet 35 and the prettiest woman Jensen had ever seen, with a figure the Creator himself would marvel at. In different circumstances, her mother's life would have been one of countless suitors, some no doubt willing to offer a king's ransom for her hand. Her mother's heart, though, was as loving and beautiful as her face, and she had given up everything to protect her daughter. When Jensen sometimes felt sorry for herself, for the normal things in life that she couldn't have, she would then think of her mother, who had willingly given up all those same things and more for the sake of her daughter. Her mother was as close as it came to a guardian spirit in the flesh. "Jensen!" Her mother rushed to her and seized her shoulders. "Oh, Jen, I was starting to worry so. Where have you been? I was just coming to look for you. I thought you must have had some trouble, and I was..."
"I did, Mother," Jensen confided.
Her mother paused only momentarily. Then, without further question, she embraced Jensen in protective arms. After such a frightening day, Jensen openly welcomed the balm of her mother's hug. Finally, with a comforting arm encircling Jensen's shoulders, her mother urged her toward the door.
"Come inside and get yourself dry. I see you have quite the catch. We'll have a good dinner, and you can tell me..."
Jensen was dragging her feet.
"Mother, I have someone with me."
Her mother halted, suddenly searching her daughter's face for any outward sign of the nature and depth of the trouble.
"What do you mean? Who would you have with you?"
Jensen flicked a hand back toward the path.
"He's waiting down there. I told him to wait. I told him I'd ask you if he could sleep in the cave with the animals." "What? Stay here? Jen, what were you thinking? We can't..."
"Mother, please listen to me. Something terrible happened today. Sebastian..."
"Sebastian?"
Jensen nodded.
the man I brought with me. Sebastian helped me. I came across a soldier who fell from the path, the high trail around the lake."
Her mother's face went ashen. She said nothing. Jensen took a calming breath and started again.
"I found a Daharan soldier dead in the gorge below the high trail. There were no other tracks. I looked. He was an extraordinarily big soldier, and he was heavily armed. Battle axe, sword at his hip, sword strapped over his shoulder."
Her mother canted her head with an admonishing expression.
"What aren't you telling me, Jen?"
Jensen wanted to hold it back until she explained Sebastian first, but her mother could read it in her eyes, hear it in her voice. The terrible threat of that piece of paper with the two words on it seemed almost to be screaming its presence from her pocket.
"Mother, please let me tell it my way."
Her mother cupped a hand to the side of Jensen's face.
"Tell me then, your way if you must. I was searching the soldier, looking for anything important, and I found something. But then this man, a traveler, came upon me. I'm sorry, Mother, I was frightened by the soldier being there and by what I found, and I wasn't paying attention as I should have. I know I behaved foolishly."
Her mother smiled.
"No, baby, we all have lapses. None of us can be perfect. We all sometimes make mistakes. That doesn't make you foolish. Don't say that about yourself." "Well, I felt foolish when he said something and I turned around and there he was. I had my knife out, though."
Her mother was nodding with a smile of approval.
"He saw then that the man had fallen to his death. He, Sebastian, that's his name, he said that if we just left him there, then more likely than not, other soldiers would find him and start questioning all of us and maybe blame us for their fellow soldier being dead. This man, Sebastian, sounds like he knows what he's talking about. I thought so, too. I had intended to cover the dead soldier to try and hide him, but he was big. I could never have dragged him over to a cranny by myself. Sebastian offered to help me bury the body. Together, we were able to drag him over and roll him into a deep split in the rock. We covered him over good. Sebastian put some heavy rocks atop the gravel I scooped in. No one will find him."
Her mother looked more relieved.
"That was wise. Before we buried him, Sebastian thought we should take anything valuable rather than let it go to waste in the ground."
One eyebrow arched.
"Did he now?"
Jensen nodded. She pulled the money from her pocket, the pocket that didn't have the piece of paper in it. She dumped all the money in her mother's hand.
"Sebastian insisted that I take it all. There's gold marks there. He didn't want any for himself."
Her mother took in the fortune in her hand, then glanced briefly to the trail where Sebastian waited. She leaned closer.
"Jen, if he came with you, then perhaps he thinks he can have the money back at any time of his choosing. That would give him the opportunity to look generous and win your trust, and still be near enough to end up with the money when he chooses."
"I considered that, too."
Her mother's tone softened sympathetically.
"Jen, it's not your fault. I've kept you so sheltered, but you just don't know how men can be."
Jensen let her gaze drop from her mother's knowing eyes.
"I suppose it could be true, but I don't think so."
"And why not?" Jensen looked back up, more intently this time.
"He has a fever, Mother. He's not well. He was leaving without asking to come with me at all. He bid me a goodbye. As tired and feverish as he is, I feared he'd die out in the rain tonight. I stopped him, told him that if it was all right with you, he could sleep in the cave with the animals where he could at least be dry and warm."
After a moment of silence, Jensen added,
"He said that if you don't want a stranger near, he will understand and be on his way."
"Did he?"
"Well, Jen, this man is either very honest or very clever."
She fixed Jensen with an intent look.
"Which do you think it is, hmm?"
Jensen twined her fingers together.
"I don't know, Mother. I honestly don't. I wondered the same things as you. I really did."
She remembered then.
"He said that he wanted you to have this so you wouldn't have to fear a stranger sleeping nearby."
Jensen drew the knife in its sheath from behind her belt and held it out to her mother. The silver handle gleamed in the dim yellow light coming from the small window behind her mother. Staring in astonishment, her mother slowly lifted the weapon in both hands as she whispered,
"Dear spirits."
"I know," Jensen said. "I nearly yelped in fright when I saw it. Sebastian said that this was a fine weapon, too fine to bury, and he wanted me to keep it. He kept the soldier's short sword and axe for himself. I told him I would give this to you. He said that he hoped it would help you feel safe." Her mother slowly shook her head. "This does not make me feel safe at all, knowing that a man carrying this was near us. Jen, I don't like that one bit, not one bit." Her mother's eyes showed that she was on to worries bigger than the man Jensen had brought home with her. "Mother, Sebastian is sick. Can he stay in the cave? I led him to believe that he has more to fear from us than we from him." Her mother glanced up with a sly smile. "Good girl." They both knew that in order to survive, they had to work as a team with well-practiced roles they fell into without the need for formal discussion. She let out a sigh then, as if with the burden of knowing all the things her daughter was missing in life. She ran a hand tenderly down Jensen's hair, letting it come to rest on her shoulder. "All right, baby," she said at last. "We'll let him stay the night." "And feed him? I told him he would have a hot meal for helping me." Her mother's warm smile widened. "And a meal, then?" She drew the blade from its sheath, finally. She gave it a critical appraisal, turning it this way and that, inspecting its design. She tested the edge, and then the weight. She spun it between her slender fingers to get the feel of it, the balance. At last she held it in her open palm, contemplating the ornate letter R. Jensen could not imagine what terrible thoughts and memories must be going through her mother's mind as she silently considered the emblem representing the House of Rawl.
"Dear spirits," her mother whispered again to herself.
Jensen didn't say anything. She entirely understood. It was an ugly, evil thing.
"Mother,"
Jensen whispered when her mother had looked at the handle for an eternity.
"It's almost dark. May I go get Sebastian and take him back to the cave?"
Her mother slid the blade home into its sheath, looking to put a panorama of painful memories away with it.
"Yes, I suppose you had better go get him. Take him to the cave, make a fire for him. I'll cook some fish and bring some herbs along to help him sleep with his fever. Wait there with him until I come out. Keep your eye on him. We will eat with him out there. I don't want him in the house."
Jensen nodded. She touched her mother's arm, halting her before she could go into the house. Jensen had one more thing to tell her mother. She dearly wished she didn't have to. She didn't want to bring her mother such a worry, but she had to.
"Mother," she said in a voice barely above a whisper, "we are going to need to go from this place."
Her mother looked startled.
"I found something on the Daharan soldier."
Jensen pulled the piece of paper from her pocket, unfolded it, and held it out in her open palm. Her mother's gaze took in the two words on the paper.
"Dear spirits," was all she said, was all she was able to say.
She turned and looked at the house, taking it all in, her eyes suddenly brimming with tears. Jensen knew that her mother had come to think of it as home, too.
"Dear spirits," her mother whispered to herself again, at a loss for anything more.
Jensen thought the weight of it might overcome her, and her mother might break down in helpless tears. That was what Jensen wanted to do. Neither did. Her mother wiped a finger under each eye as she looked back at Jensen. And then she did cry, one brief inhalation of a gasping sob of hopelessness.
"I'm so sorry, baby."
It broke Jensen's heart to see her mother in such anguish. Everything that Jensen had missed in life, her mother had missed twice over. Once for herself, and once for her daughter. On top of it, Her mother had to be strong.
"We'll leave at first light," her mother said in simple pronouncement. "Traveling at night and in the rain will serve us ill. We'll have to find a new place to hide. He's getting too close to this one."
Jensen's own eyes overflowed with tears, and her voice came only with great difficulty.
"I'm so sorry, Mama, that I'm such trouble."
Her tears flooded forth in a painful torrent. She crushed the piece of paper as her hands fisted.
"I'm so sorry, Mama. I wish you could be free of me."
Her mother caught her up in her arms, then cradling Jensen's head to a shoulder as she wept.
"No, no, baby. Don't ever say that. You're my light, my life. This trouble is caused by others. Don't you ever wear a cloak of guilt because they are evil. You're my wonderful life. I would give everything else up 1,000 times over for you and then once again and be joyous to do so."
Jensen was glad that she would never have any children, for she knew she didn't have her mother's strength. She held on for dear life to the only person in the world who was a comfort to her. But then she pushed away from her mother's embrace.
"Mama, Sebastian is from far away. He told me. He said that he's from beyond Dahara. There are other places, other lands. He knows of them. Isn't that wonderful? There is a place that isn't Dahara."
"But those places are beyond barriers and boundaries that can't be crossed. Then how can he be here? It must be so, otherwise he could not have traveled here."
"And Sebastian is from one of these other lands?"
"To the south," he said.
"The south? I don't see how it could be possible. Are you sure that's what he said?"
"Yes."
Jensen added a firm nod of confirmation.
"He said the south. He only mentioned it casually. I'm not sure how it's possible, but what if it is? Mother, maybe he could guide us there. Maybe if we asked, he would guide us out of this nightmare land."
As level-headed as her mother was, Jensen could see that she was considering this wild idea. It wasn't crazy. Her mother was thinking it over, so it couldn't be crazy. Jensen was suddenly filled with a sense of hope that maybe she had come up with something that would save them.
"Why would he do this for us?"
"I don't know. I don't even know if he would consider it, or what he would want in return. I didn't ask him. I didn't dare even to mention it until I talked to you first. That's part of why I wanted him to stay here, so you could question him. I feared to lose this chance to discover if it is really possible."
Her mother looked around again at the house. It was tiny, only one room, and it was nothing fancy, built from logs and wood they had shaped themselves. But it was warm and snug and dry. It was frightening to contemplate striking out in the dead of winter. The alternative of being caught, though, was far worse. Jensen knew what would happen if they were caught. Death would not come swiftly. If they were caught, death would come only after endless torture. At last, her mother gathered herself and spoke.
"That's good thinking, Jen. I don't know if anything can come of such an idea, but we'll talk to Sebastian and see. One thing is for sure, we have to leave. We dare not delay until spring. Not if they're this close. We'll leave at dawn."
"Mother, where will we go this time if Sebastian won't lead us away from Dahara?"
Her mother smiled.
"Baby, this world is a big place. We are only two small people. We will simply vanish again. I know it's hard, but we're together. It will be fine. We'll see some new sights now, won't we? Some more of the world. Now, go get Sebastian and take him to the cave. I'll get started on dinner. We'll all need to have a good meal."
Jensen quickly kissed her mother's cheek before racing down the trail. The rain was starting, and it was so gloomy among the trees that she could hardly see. The trees were all huge Daharan soldiers to her, broad, powerful, grim. She knew she would have nightmares after seeing a real Daharan soldier up close. Sebastian was still sitting on the rock waiting. He stood as she rushed up to him.
"My mother said it was all right for you to sleep in the cave with the animals. She started on cooking up the fish for us. She wants to meet you."
He looked too tired to be happy, but he managed to show her a small smile. Jensen seized his wrist and urged him to follow her. He was already shivering with the wet. His arm was warm, though. Fever was like that, she knew. You shivered, even though you were burning up. But with some food and herbs and a good night's rest, she was sure he would soon be well. What she wasn't sure of was if he would help them. Chapter 5. Betty, their brown goat, watched attentively from her pen, occasionally voicing her displeasure at sharing her home, as Jensen quickly collected straw to the side for the stranger in Betty's sanctuary. Bleeding her distress, Betty finally quieted when Jensen affectionately scratched the nervous goat's ears, patted the wiry hair covering her round middle, and then gave her half a carrot from the stash up on a high ledge. Betty's short, upright tail wagged furiously. Sebastian shed his cloak and pack, but kept on the belt with his new weapons. He unstrapped his bedroll from under his pack and spread it out over the mat of straw. Despite Jensen's urging, he wouldn't lie down and rest while she knelt near the cave's entrance and prepared the fire pit. As he helped her stack dry kindling, she could see by the dim light coming from the window of the house on the other side of the clearing that sweat beaded his face. He repeatedly scraped his knife down the length of a branch, swiftly building a clump of fluffy fibers. He struck a steel to flint several times, sending sparks through the darkness into the tinder he'd made. He cupped the fluff in his hands, and with gentle puffs of breath, nursed the slow flames until they strengthened, then placed the burning tinder beneath the kindling, where the flames quickly grew and popped to life among the dry twigs. The branches released a pleasing fragrance of balsam as they caught flame. Jensen had been planning on running to the house not far off to get some hot coals to start the fire, but he had it going before she could even suggest it. By the way he trembled, she imagined he was impatient for heat, even though he was burning with fever. She could smell the aroma of the frying fish coming from the house, and when the wind among the pine boughs died from time to time, she could hear the sizzle. The chickens retreated from the growing light into the deep shadows at the back of the cave. Betty's ears stood at attention as she watched Jensen for any signs that another carrot might be forthcoming. Her tail wagged in hopeful fits. The opening in the mountain was simply a place where, in some distant age past, a slab of rock had tumbled out, like some giant granite tooth come loose, to plunge down the slope and leave a dry socket behind. Now, trees below grew among a collection of such fallen boulders. The cave only ran back about 20 feet, but the overhang of rock at the entrance further sheltered it and helped keep it dry. Jensen was tall, but the ceiling of the cave was high enough that she could stand in most of it, and since Sebastian was only a little taller than she, his spikes of snow-white hair, now a mellow orange in the firelight, didn't brush the top as he went to the back to collect some of the dry wood stacked there. The chickens squawked at being bothered, but then quickly settled back down. Jensen squatted on the opposite side of the fire from Sebastian, with her back to the rain that had started, so she could see his face in the firelight as they both warmed their hands in the heat of the crackling flames. After a day in the frigid, damp weather, the fire's warmth felt luxurious. She knew that sooner or later winter would return with a vengeance. As cold and uncomfortable as it was now, it would get worse. She tried not to think about having to leave their snug home, especially at this time of year. She had known from the first instant she saw the piece of paper, though, that they might. "Are you hungry?" she asked. "Starving," he said, looking as eager for the fish as Betty was for a carrot. The wonderful smells were making her stomach grumble, too. "That's good. My mother always says that if you're ill and you have an appetite, then it can't be too serious." "I'll be fine in a day or two. A rest will do you good." Jensen drew her knife from its sheath at her belt. "We've never allowed anyone to stay here before. You will understand that we will be taking precautions." She could see in his eyes that he didn't know what she was talking about, but he shrugged his understanding of her prudence.
Jensen's knife wasn't anything like the fine weapon the soldier had been carrying. They could afford nothing like that knife. Hers had a simple handle made of antler, and the blade wasn't thick, but she kept its edge razor sharp. Jensen used the blade to slice a shallow cut across the inside of her forearm. With a frown, Sebastian started to rise to voice a protest. Her challenging glare stopped him cold before he was halfway up. He sank back down and watched with growing concern as she wiped the sides of the blade through the crimson beads of blood welling up from the cut. She very deliberately looked him in the eye again before turning her back on him and moving out closer to the edge of the cave where the rain dampened the ground. With the knife wetted in blood, Jensen first drew a large circle. Feeling Sebastian's eyes on her, she next pulled the tip of the bloody blade through the damp earth in straight lines to make a square, its corners just touching the inside of the circle. With hardly a pause, she drew a smaller circle that touched the insides of the square. As she worked, she murmured prayers under her breath, asking the good spirits to guide her hand. It seemed the right thing to do. She knew that Sebastian could hear her soft sing-song, but not make out the words. It occurred unexpectedly to her that it must be something like the voices she heard in her own head. Sometimes when she drew the outer circle, she heard the whisper of that dead voice call her name. Opening her eyes from the prayer, she drew an eight-pointed star, its rays piercing all the way through the inner circle, the square, and then the outer circle. Every other ray bisected a corner of the square. The rays were said to represent the gift of the Creator. So, as she drew the eight-pointed star, Jensen always whispered a prayer of thanks for the gift of her mother. When she finished and looked up, her mother was standing before her. As if she had risen from the shadows or materialized from the edge of the drawing itself to be lit by the leaping flames of the fire behind Jensen. In the light of those flames, her mother was like a vision of some impossibly beautiful spirit. "Do you know what this drawing represents, young man?" Jensen's mother asked in a voice hardly more than a whisper. Sebastian stared up at her, the way people often stared when they first saw her, and shook his head. "It's called a grace. They have been drawn by those with the gift of magic for thousands of years. Some say since the dawn of creation itself. The outer circle represents the beginning of the eternity of the underworld. The keeper's world of the dead. The inner circle is the extent of the world of life. The square represents the veil that separates both worlds, life from death. It touches both at times. The star is the light of the gift from the Creator himself, magic, extending through life and crossing over into the world of the dead. The fire crackled and hissed as Jensen's mother, like some spectral figure, towered over the two of them. Sebastian said nothing. Her mother had spoken the truth, but it was truth used to convey a specific impression that was not true. "My daughter has drawn this grace as protection for you as you rest this night and as protection for us. There is another before the door to the house." She let the silence drag before adding, "It would be unwise to cross either without our consent." "I understand, Mrs. Daggett." In the firelight, his face showed no emotion. His blue eyes turned to Jensen. A hint of a smile came to his lips, even though his expression remained serious. "You are a surprising woman, Jensen Daggett. A woman of many mysteries. I will sleep safely tonight." "And well," Jensen's mother said. "Besides the dinner, I brought some herbs to help you sleep." Her mother, holding the bowl full of fried fish in one hand, collected Jensen with a hand on her shoulder and guided her around to the back of the fire to sit beside her, on the opposite side of her from Sebastian. By the sober look on his face, their demonstration had had the desired effect. Her mother glanced at Jensen and gave her a smile Sebastian couldn't see. Jensen had done well. Holding the bowl out, her mother offered Sebastian some fish, saying, "I would like to thank you, young man, for the help you gave Jensen today.
Sebastian, please.
So Jensen has told me.
I was glad to help. It was helping myself, too, really. I'd not like to have Daharan soldiers chasing me.
She pointed.
If you would accept it, this one on top is coated with the herbs that will help you sleep.
He used his knife to stab the darker piece of fish coated in the herbs. Jensen took another on her own knife after first wiping the blade clean on her skirts.
Jensen tells me that you are from outside Dahara.
He glanced up as he chewed.
That's right.
I find that hard to believe. Dahara is bordered by impassable boundaries. In my lifetime, no one has been able to come into or leave Dahara. How is it possible, then, that you have?
With his teeth, Sebastian pulled the chunk of herb-coated fish off his knife. He inhaled between his teeth to cool the bite. He gestured around with the blade as he chewed.
How long have you been out here alone in this great wood, without seeing people, without news?
Several years.
Oh, well then, I guess it makes sense that you wouldn't know, but since you've been out here, the barriers have come down.
Jensen and her mother both took in this staggering, nearly incomprehensible news in silence. In that silence, they both dared to begin to imagine the heady possibilities. For the first time in Jensen's life, escape seemed conceivable. The impossible dream of a life of their own suddenly seemed only a journey away. They had been traveling and hiding their whole life. Now it seemed the journey might at last be near the end.
Sebastian, Jensen's mother said, why did you help Jensen today?
I like to help people. She needed help. I could tell how much that man scared her, even though he was dead.
He smiled at Jensen.
She looked nice. I wanted to help her. Besides, he finally admitted, I don't much care for Daharan soldiers.
When she gestured by lifting the bowl toward him, he stabbed another piece of fish.
Mrs. Daggett, I'm liable to fall asleep before long. Why don't you just tell me what's on your mind?
We are hunted by Daharan soldiers.
Why?
That's a story for another night. Depending on the outcome of this night, you may yet learn it. But for now, all that really matters is that we are hunted. Jensen more so than me. If the Daharan soldiers catch us, she will be murdered.
Her mother made it sound simple. He would not let it be so simple. It would be much more grisly than any mere murder. Death would be a reward gained only after inconceivable agony and endless begging.
Sebastian glanced over at Jensen.
I'd not like that.
Then we are three of a single mind, her mother murmured.
That's why the two of you are good friends with those knives you keep at hand, he said.
That's why, her mother confirmed.
So, Sebastian said, you fear the Daharan soldiers finding you. Daharan soldiers aren't exactly a rarity. The one today gave you both a scare. What makes you both fear this one today so much?
Jensen added a stout stick to the fire, glad to have her mother to do the talking. Betty bleated for a carrot, or at least attention. The chickens grumbled about the noise and light.
Jensen, her mother said, show Sebastian the piece of paper you found on the Daharan soldier.
Taken aback, Jensen waited until her mother's eyes turned her way. They shared a look that told Jensen her mother was determined to take this chance, and if she was to try, then they had to at least tell him some of it.
Jensen drew the crumpled piece of paper from her pocket and handed it past her mother to Sebastian.
I found this in that Daharan soldier's pocket.
She swallowed at the ghastly memory of seeing a dead person.
Just before you showed up.
Sebastian pulled the crumpled paper open, smoothing it between a thumb and finger as he cast them both a suspicious look. He turned the paper toward the firelight so he could see the two words.
Jensen Lindy, he said, reading it from the piece of paper.
I don't get it. Who's Jensen Lindy?
Me, Jensen said.
At least it was for a while.
For a while? I don't understand.
That was my name, Jensen said. The name I used anyway, a few years back, when we lived far to the north. We move around often to keep from being caught. We change our name each time so it will be harder to track us.
Then Daggett is not a real name either?
No.
Well, what is your real name then?
That, too, is part of the story for another night. Her mother's tone said that she didn't mean to discuss it. What matters is that the soldier today had that name. That can only mean the worst.
But you said it's a name you no longer use. You use a different name here, Daggett. No one here knows you by that name, Lindy.
Her mother leaned toward Sebastian. Jensen knew her mother was giving him a look that he would find uncomfortable. Her mother had a way of making people nervous when she fixed them with that intent, penetrating gaze of hers. It may no longer be our name, a name we used only far to the north, but he had that name written down and he was here, mere miles from where we are now. That means he has somehow connected that name with us, with two women somewhere up in this remote place. Somehow he connected it, or more precisely, the man who hunts us connected it and sent him after us. Now they search for us here. Sebastian broke her gaze and took a thoughtful breath.
I see what you mean.
He went back to eating the piece of fish skewered on the point of his knife. That dead soldier would have others with him, her mother said. By burying him, you bought us time. They won't know what happened to him. We have that much luck. We are still a few steps ahead of them. We must use our advantage to get away before they tighten the noose. We will have to leave in the morning.
Are you sure? He gestured around with the knife. You have a life here. Your lives are remote, hidden. I would never have found you had I not seen Jensen with that dead soldier. How could they find you? You have a house, a good place.
Life is the word that matters in all that you said. I know the man who hunts us. He has thousands of years of bloody heritage as guidance in hunting us. He will not rest. If we stay, sooner or later, he will find us here. We must escape while we can. She pulled from her belt the exquisite knife Jensen had brought her from the dead Daharan soldier. Still in its sheath, she spun it in her fingers, presenting it, hilt first, to Sebastian. This letter R on the hilt stands for the House of Rall, our hunter. He would only have presented the weapon this fine to a very special soldier. I don't want a weapon which has been presented by that evil man. Sebastian glanced down at the knife, tendered, but didn't take it. He gave them both a look that unexpectedly chilled Jensen to the bone. It was a look that burned with ruthless determination. Where I come from, we believe in using what is closest to an enemy, or what comes from him, as a weapon against him. Jensen had never heard such a sentiment. Her mother didn't move. The knife lay still in her hand. Do you choose to use what he has inadvertently given you and turn it against him? Or do you choose instead to be a victim?
What do you mean?
Why don't you kill him? Jensen's jaw dropped. Her mother seemed less astonished.
We can't, she insisted. He's a powerful man. He is protected by countless people, from simple soldiers to soldiers of great skill at killing, like the one you buried today, to people with the gift who can call upon magic. We are but two simple women.
Sebastian was not moved by her plea. He won't stop until he kills you. He lifted the piece of paper, watching her eyes take it in. This proves it. He will never stop. Why don't you kill him before he kills you, kills your daughter? Or will you choose to be corpses he has yet to collect? Her mother's voice heated. And how do you propose we kill the Lord Rall? Sebastian stabbed another piece of fish. For starters, you should keep the knife. It's a weapon superior to the one you carry. Use what is his to fight him. Your sentimental objection to taking it only serves him, not you or Jensen. Her mother sat still as stone. Jensen,
had never heard anyone talk like this. His words had a way of making her see things differently than she ever had before.
"I must admit that what you say makes sense," her mother said.
Her voice came softly and laced with pain or perhaps regret.
"You have opened my eyes, a little anyway. I don't agree with you that we should try to kill him, for I know him all too well. Such an attempt would be simple suicide at best or accomplish his goal at worst. But I will keep the knife and use it to defend myself and my daughter. Thank you, Sebastian, for speaking sense when I didn't want to hear it."
"I'm glad you're keeping the knife, at least." Sebastian pulled the bite of fish off his own knife. "I hope it can help you." With the back of his hand, he wiped the sweat from his brow. "If you don't want to try to kill him in order to save yourself, then what do you propose to do? Keep running?"
"You say the barriers are down. I propose to leave Dahara. We will try to make it to another land where Dark and Rall cannot hunt us."
Sebastian looked up as he stabbed another piece of fish.
"Dark and Rall? Dark and Rall is dead."
Jensen, having run from the man since she was little, having awakened countless times from nightmares of his blue eyes watching her from every shadow, or of him leaping out to snatch her when her feet wouldn't move fast enough, having lived every day wondering if this was the day he would finally catch her, having imagined 1,000 times and then another 1,000 what terrible, brutal, torturous things he would do to her, having prayed to the good spirits every day for deliverance from her merciless hunter and his implacable minions, was thunderstruck. She realized only then that she had always thought of the man as next to immortal, as immortal as evil itself.
"Dark and Rall? Dead? It can't be,"
Jensen said as tears of deliverance welled up and ran down her cheeks. She was filled with a wild, heart-pounding sense of expectant hope, and at the same time, an inexplicable shadow of dark dread. Sebastian nodded. "It's true, about 2 years ago from what I heard." Jensen gave voice to the hope.
"Then he is no longer the threat we thought."
She paused.
"But if Dark and Rall is dead..."
"Dark and Rall's son is Lord Rall now," Sebastian said.
"His son?"
Jensen felt her hope being eclipsed by that dark dread. "The Lord Rall hunts us," her mother said, her voice calm and enduring, betraying no evidence of even a moment of exalted hope. "The Lord Rall is the Lord Rall. It is now as it has always been, as it will always be. As immortal as evil itself."
"Richard Rall,"
Sebastian put in. "He's the Lord Rall now." "Richard Rall." So now Jensen knew her hunter's new name. A terrifying thought washed over her. She had never before heard the voice say anything more than surrender and her name and occasionally those strange foreign words she didn't understand. Now it demanded she surrender her flesh, her very will. If it was the voice of the one who hunted her, as her mother said, then this new Lord Rall must be even more terrifyingly powerful than his wicked father. Fleeting salvation had left behind grim despair. "This man, Richard Rall," her mother said, searching for understanding amid all the startling news. "He ascended to rule as the Lord Rall of Dahara when his father died then?" Sebastian leaned forward, a cloaked rage unexpectedly surfacing in his blue eyes. "Richard Rall became the Lord Rall of Dahara when he murdered his father and seized rule. And if you are next going to suggest that perhaps the son is less of a threat than his father, then let me set you straight. Richard Rall is the one who brought down the barriers." At that, Jensen threw up her hands in confusion. "But that would only give those who wish to be free their opening to escape Dahara, to escape him.
No, he brought those ancient protective barriers down so he could extend his tyrannical rule to the lands that were beyond the reach of even his father.
Sebastian thumped his chest once with a tight fist. My land he wants. Lord Rawl is a madman. Dahara is not enough for him to rule. He lusts to dominate the entire world.
Jensen's mother stared off into the flames, looking dispirited. I always thought, hoped, I guess, that if Darkon Rawl were dead, then maybe we might have a chance. The piece of paper Jensen found today with her name on it now tells me that the son is even more dangerous than his father, and that I was only deluding myself. Even Darkon Rawl never got this close to us.
Jensen felt numb after having been rocked by a turbulent swing of emotions, only to be left more terrified and hopeless than before. But seeing such despair on her mother's face wounded her heart. I will keep the knife. Her mother's decision said how much she feared the new Lord Rawl, and how frightful was their plight.
Good.
Dim light coming from the house reflected off the swollen pools of water standing beyond the cave entrance, but the droning rain churned the light into thousands of sparkles, like the tears of the good spirits themselves. In a day or two, the collection of ponds would be ice. Traveling would be easier in that cold than in cold rain.
Sebastian? Jensen asked. Do you think we could escape Dahara? Maybe go to your homeland, escape the reach of this monster?